I titled the message today, One Day at a Time. And this message was laid upon my heart for a number of weeks, maybe even a number of months. And what I needed to do was find the right text to go with it. So if we're going to be moving around the Bible, and as Brother Dick shared with us this morning, you may or may not want, most of it is going to be very brief references, and I will read those, but we're going to be kind of moving around a little bit. One day at a time. One day at a time. You know, each of us literally live one day at a time, don't we? Whether you're saved or lost, we all live one day at a time. The question is, what is in a day? What is a day? What does the Bible kind of tell us about a day? The Bible tells us, and we look in Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the question might be, how do we do this? We need, and what I came up with was a life of purpose. What is a life of purpose? I believe the life of purpose is, as we read in Philippians 3, verse 10, when it says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. That I may know Him, my friend, that we may know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That should be our purpose in life, to know Him better every single day. You know, what is a life without purpose? In reality, it's a totally wasted life, isn't it? What is a life without purpose? Does it mean anything? Where are we going with a life like that? We may ask, as a child of God, does our life really have purpose? Is there a purpose for us? Did God intend for our lives to have purpose? And if so, what can we do about it? By God's grace, we'll seek to answer this question this morning. First of all, how do we live a life of purpose? Now, some of these are going to seem like redundant questions because we're going to think, well, you know, I'm a child of God and I already know these answers and I say these things all of the time. And I believe we do. And I'm speaking about myself as well. And we believe that we believe them sometimes, but I wonder if we really take them to heart. The first thing is, do we really believe Christ is enough? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is enough in your life? Do you have complete faith and confidence in Him? Do we take God at His word? Not just some of it, all of it. Do we take Him at His word? All of it. Do we believe that we have been bought with a price? And when I say that, not a collective way, but individually, you personally, me personally, that we've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, it says, For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. Yes, my friend. Jesus Christ sent His Son into this world, sent His Son in this world for you and for me, but for each one of us individually, and we were bought with a price, with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the question again is, does God have purpose? Let us look at Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says, We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know, as a child of God here this morning, if you're a child of God, you're called. Brother Dick, as he opened up with the opening of many of Paul's epistles this morning, you saw in there where we see over and over again to the saints are all that believe and have put their trust in Jesus Christ. We're all saints before the Lord. This message is for us. Again, it is all of the Word of God. And do we live our lives in total obedience to the Lord? Do we really love the Lord? Are we willing to live a life in total obedience to Him? You know, again, that's an answer that I think most of us will say, yes, I do. I want to. I am. And we mean it. But do we really? Maybe we're still thinking that, you know, that, yes, Lord, you know, I've got a pretty comfortable life. I'm doing all right. I'm going to church all the time. I'm good to everybody. I love the Lord, and everything seems to be going okay. But are we really at the point in life where God would have us to be? Do we really begin to understand, as the pastor started these messages on the last Sunday morning in his Sunday school hour, as he was talking about the attributes of God, that truly God is everything? Jesus Christ in Hebrews, we know, literally spoke the world and the universe into existence. We know that literally all things belong to Him. So in our lives, are we willing to really say and mean it that we're His and that all that we have are His? Our homes, is it His home or is it our home? Is it His home or is it our home? And if it is His home, which is the way it should be, we should recognize that we're stewards of that house. We have responsibilities. The things in it, should bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. What about our jobs? When we go to work, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as meeting the needs of a family and doing the things that you're supposed to do and being able to take the things from the job and do the things that you want and think that, well, I'm doing as the Bible tells me to do, that I'm going to work every day? Are you going to work to earn things for yourself? Or are you going to work every day because it's right before the Lord and you're seeking in that job to bring honor and glory unto Him in the workplace? And you really understand that He is your employer. He is all. Everything is His, including that job. And if it were to work that you didn't have the job, what difference would it make if it were right? You know, Daniel said, a very, very young man, when he was taken captive, he and his friends, and there were literally thousands of other Jews that had been taken to the land of Babylon. He was a very young man, probably a young teenager at the time. He early purposed in his heart to do those things that were right unto God. In a land and in a place that was totally at war with the things of the Lord. But he trusted God, and God delivered him. He had three friends that had the same attitude. They literally were threatened with death, a most horrible death, to be thrown into a fire. You know what their testimony was? God can deliver us from the fire. But if He doesn't, our testimony, for His testimony, it would be the same. We will not budge from our position with the Lord. They knew that they didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but they knew that they could trust the Lord. They knew that their lives belonged to Him 100%. And it was God's business as to how that life was going to go. And they knew that they could trust Him for it. You know, thinking about our families, what about our... And I look, of course, my family is a little smaller, kind of Edith and I at home, but we, of course, have our children and our grandchildren. But what about our husbands and our wives? Do we love them as God has instructed us to love them? Do we love them as God has instructed us to love them? Have we put them all on the altar? Have we put everything there that should be there and understood that God has given us instructions as to how we are to love? If you're a man, your wife, as Jesus Christ loved the church, look at what Jesus Christ, when we say that, gave for the church. He stepped out of the glory that He had with God the Father to come into this world to make a way for you and I that through Him we could be saved. And He gave His life for it. Are we willing to do that? Wives, are you willing to live as God has instructed you to live in obedience to your husbands? And above all of that, as husband and wife, do we recognize the authority of the home? Do we understand that Christ is first? Always first. And His authority is absolute and never changing. What about our children and our grandchildren? We love them. What a blessing they are. I just told you the other day, the further we go down the road of life, the bigger blessing grandkids become. If you just get more and more excited about them, you can't wait to see them. I mean, it's probably at least 50 to 60% of our conversation concerns the kids. We want to know all about what they're doing all the time. It's exciting. It's wonderful. But you know, we need to understand that they too are the Lord's. And are we representing what we should be representing in our homes? Instructing, as the Word of God tells us, our children and as grandparents, our grandchildren, to encourage them to learn and to understand what is really important. And that is that Jesus Christ is God, and that Jesus Christ sits on the throne, and that the Word of God is absolute truth, and we need to live by Him. That needs to be our life. Do we have that kind of testimony? And then what about our money? You know, my money, her money, their money. How do we see the money that we have? You know, I wonder how it would change things if we begin to really think in terms of truly surrendering all that we have and thinking in terms of our money in our house and in our pockets, that it's truly God's money. Not just what we give at the church on Sunday, but that all, every bit of it, the 25 cents you have in your pocket belongs to the Lord. Do you think that would affect how you're going to spend that 25 cents? Do you think it would? You're spending His money. You're His steward. What He's given you is what He has given you. It is His, and we need to have that. In our church family, do we love one another as we've been instructed in the Word of God? You know, in these last few months, and a lot of reading and different studies, I cannot begin to tell you how many times I have seen in the Word of God. Of course, I've known it's there, but it hadn't jumped off the pages as many times. To esteem others better than yourselves. It's not once or twice mentioned. I probably should have done a word search on it. It's a bunch of times in there. To esteem others better than yourself. Look at the commandment that God gave, I mean that Christ gives. When that lawyer asking what was the most important thing, he said. He said, of course, and when he said what was the most important commandment, you may recall Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your strength. Then he says it was to what? Love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself. We are to love one another. And as you study the Word of God, particularly if we were to go to 1 John, of course we don't have time to do the things we'd like to do, but if we did go to 1 John, it's a wonderful study, but we begin to see the importance of having a right, loving heart. Think of the love that Jesus has for us and the love we're to have one for another. To literally esteem others better than ourselves. To look at things as God does and how they can complete a full picture. Oh, and then are we ready within the church to serve in whatever positions the Lord may open? If that's the position God would have us in, are we ready to be used for those positions? And then the last note I made was our friends and others we meet. You know, Christ died for them, didn't they? Christ died for them. In the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to continually be lifting up each other as we did this morning, lifting up in prayer and song, encouraging each other in the Lord, learning and studying together. What a blessing it is to have that. But when we're out, what about those that we work with, our friends? What about those that we meet in our daily paths? Are we doing Are we focused? Are we purposed in our heart to live the life that God would have us to live? I said all of that to get to the message. Okay, the message again is purpose. How do we purpose? How is it that we live a life of purpose? I believe it must be lived on purpose. You live a life of purpose by living it on purpose. You determine in your heart that you are going to live for the Lord. You determine that you are going to live for Him not only today but every day. And you are going to make Him you're going to put Him on the throne of your heart and let Him walk. I believe as Christians it's easy to be content and satisfied with our lives sometimes. Rightfully so. I think of Sam's message the other day. And as he presented his experience over in Ukraine. And I thought, what's the difference? I was born here. They were born there. You realize that's a gift of God? To whom much is given, much is expected. God has given us much. We sometimes lose our focus, I think, and not realize some of the things that God has given us. We get caught up in some of the things that God, in some of the ways that God has. So we might be living pretty much a good life, but the question might be this. We may want to ask ourselves, are we living the life that God has planned? You see, God is a God of purpose, isn't He? Just look at the universe. Look at the world. Look at His Word. Look at how He picks up the fragments of fish. His brother Dick brought out in his message this morning in Titus. What was Paul's message? Paul's message was, first of all, was to do things in order. Everything has an order, has a purpose. You and I are a part of God's order and purpose. But we must seek it with a right heart and ask Him to show it to us. And we don't want to get too comfortable. Sometimes we get into certain ways of living life and we can come up with our own attitudes about things and think that we're really doing it all right. I think of getting into our comfort zone. I listened to or had read a book a pastor had written, and he talked about his comfort zone. He was a tremendous pastor, had tremendous revivals, was well received when he typically went to give a message. You know, before he got to do most of those messages, he found himself pulled over the side of the road, hiding out somewhere, cowardly in an area, shaking before the Lord, scared to death, not of giving the message, but of meeting the people. But he purposed in his heart. He knew God would have him in that place, and he went in spite of it, in spite of the discomfort. Now, was he a new pastor? Was he a man who just started preaching a couple of years and been on the just out doing it for a few years? This man had been out there for over 20 years and still was having those kind of challenges. You know, sometimes when we're going to serve the Lord and be right with the Lord, we have to change things in our lives. And we need to change our attitudes about things as well. And we need to be open to the Lord to do those things. We need a purpose in our heart to listen to Him and to be led of Him in all of those things. You know, the other thing is we can, as Christians too, I think, sometimes get too comfortable with the world and the sin which comes with it. The Bible warns us not to be of the world. In 1 John 2:15-17, Word of God says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's a real important verse. The Bible says clearly that we are not to love the world. Not to love the world. And neither the things that are in the world. Notice what he follows in the next verse with, and I think we can understand even clearer. Verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." You see, the things of the world are those things. They are the things of the world. And they are the things that bring sin into our lives. And he makes in 17 that we might understand, he says, notice he says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Abideth forever. Where are we laying up our treasures? I heard recently in a message this, and I thought it was kind of good. Most of us have heard many times that when you die, you don't take anything with you. Anybody ever heard that before? Whether you be a rich man, a poor man, it doesn't make any difference. You're not going to take anything with you, are you? And we all talk about that, and that's kind of the way we all talk, and the world talks about it. And we talk about, well, that's true, so I want to be right. But you know, the pastor pointed this out. What is important are those things that we have laid up ahead for us. You see, by God's grace, we should be laying up treasures in heaven ahead for us. That's what should be taking place in our lives. And you know, being a child of God, as I've already mentioned, does not mean that we don't necessarily, that even as a child of God, that we can't be living in sin. Sometimes that sin is almost an unknown sin. We've just gotten real comfortable. We don't even recognize it. It's amazing sometimes how sin in our lives can be very deceptive. We can't see it. We deceive ourselves into thinking that it's all right. And even if we do understand it, we kind of justify it. We love to justify sins in our own lives. We can kind of say, well, God knows who I am. God knows about the problems I've had. God knows that I'm doing this over here, not doing something over there. How we can deceive ourselves and how wicked it is to do such a thing. The damage isn't always just with one. It can affect many others. The pain can be unbelievable. But you know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:6 through 10 how wonderful it is that we have such a God. He warns us first. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. You know, if you walk in sin, if you walk in the ways of the world, you cannot have the kind of fellowship God wants to have with you. And you cannot work the purpose that He truly has for you in this life. But notice what it says in verse 7. It says, "But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin." From all sin. In verse 8 he says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Yes, our precious Lord and Savior made a way that you and I, through His blood, can be fully restored to fellowship with Him and walk in the path that He has for each of us. Yes, as it says in verse 12, it says, in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "By God's grace we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice." What does it mean, living sacrifice? That is our moment by moment, day by day walk. It is different than where you used to take something and give it on the altar and take something every time. Ours is a living sacrifice. It is one that is to be lived out, one that is to bring honor and glory unto the Lord every day of our lives and every moment of our lives. We are to be holy. In other words, it's to be separated. We're to be separated unto God in our walk and acceptable unto Him. And let me say this, righteousness has no fellowship with unrighteousness. If you're going to have fellowship with God, you need to be righteous. That righteousness comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and by getting right with God. And He's given us all the tools that we need to do that. Some of these things, I think, as I was doing my study, I thought, well, what do you need to do all this? Well, I think one of the things we need to do is we need to believe God. You know, we say that oftentimes. We say, yeah, I believe God. Do you believe His Word? Well, I believe His God. Of course, we hear a lot of times now with different people that will come up with different interpretations or try to suggest that there are errors in the Word of God. And I know many of us have dealt with that over time. But I'm saying even for us that sometimes, and I'm speaking to myself, that we say that we believe God. Do we really believe God? That is what it's about. We must believe God, must believe that He is. You know, in His Word in Hebrews 11:6, He says, without faith it is impossible, I understand this, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That diligently seek Him. I broke this down into three different points I thought were good to look at. The first is without faith. Without faith. What is faith? Faith is taking God at His Word. Now let me say this, my friends. I believe everyone in here has. But it doesn't make any difference. If one has or hadn't, God's Word is God's Word, and it's forever true and it forever will be. It's not ever going to change. Whether people choose to believe it or not, it is going to be what it is, and what God has said is going to be. And if He has made us a promise, we can absolutely know that it's absolute truth. Everything that God says is true, and it's going to be. If all the world chooses not, it doesn't change a thing. God's Word is going to be what it is. But first of all, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We need to have faith and trust in God's Word and all of His Word and put it in the right in the right perspective. Second part is that we must believe that He is. And I thought about that, and of course I think most of us would agree, well, we believe that God is, He's creator of all these things, and He's done all this, and He's the great God. But I was thinking about some of the other areas as well. You know, you think of what we need to realize is that when we say this, we must understand not only is He God, but He is perfect. He is perfect in wisdom. He is perfect in understanding and love. He's absolute in power, all power. And He's absolute in all authority, L authority. I heard a good explanation recently concerning understanding and wisdom. Actually, it was by Harry Wimberly. We happened to listen to one of his old tapes. He said concerning understanding, he said, you know, we get understanding, we are to get understanding from the Word of God, but wisdom is the proper application of that understanding. And that also must come from the Word of God. Understanding isn't enough. There are some of us that can maybe know the Word of God backward and forward. We can quote, we have doctrine down pat, we have everything right, but we have left some of the more important aspects of God's Word. Love, faith, trust, obedience. Those are the real foundational aspects of the Word of God we need to sometimes be looking at. And then the third point was, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You know, God will bless us if we will seek Him with all that we are. God promises that. He wants you to go in there and beat the door down. If you've got a challenge, you beat the door down. You keep beating it down. God wants that. And He answers those that do. You know, we can look back and we can look at guys like Abraham. You know, I think of Abraham. Here he was sitting in that tent one day, and God came and talked to him and told him he was going to have a son. Of course, he was an old man at the time. Of course, he believed God. It took 12 years, didn't it? Do you think there were some challenges along the way? Of course there were. We know of another one that was born where his wife gave up and gave him somebody, didn't they? Because they had actually given up on the Lord, but the Lord still counted faithful. But do we do the same thing in life sometimes? Ourselves, give up because we don't think we're getting answers? We need to be faithful and trust God. If He said it, we know He's going to do it. The other thing is, He tells us we'll diligently seek Him. He tells us that He's a rewarder. Notice He says, when we say that, I think He will lead and guide us in truth and wisdom. God wants us to grow in Him and in His truth and in His wisdom. And there is no other truth. And there's certainly no greater wisdom. And then we will grow in power through Him. In power through love and peace that can only come from above and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is to know Him. When we begin to study, and you begin to study the life of Christ, what a wonderful God that we have, that Jesus Christ took on flesh and blood and walked in this world, not only to redeem our sins, but also as an example that you and I can look at and know that God knows literally what it is to be in our skin. And to see the example of the kind of life that is to be lived. And we can know Him. We can see the love. We can see the kindness. We can see the uncompromised truth. We can see the way that He has made for all that will accept it. We can see the right attitudes of what life, about life, and about those of our brothers and our sisters, both in Christ and those that are out, of how we should be living. But you know, as we talked a little earlier, to do these things requires a yielded heart. One that is truly yielded to the Lord, and one that is beating the door down every day to ask the Lord to yield that heart, to be right with Him. That life and that day might every day be lived through Him. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 7, it's in Proverbs 3, it says in verses 5 and 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's not a partial, it's an all. All thy heart. And lean not to thy own understanding. That's easy to do sometimes. We think we know the answers. We think we know the right direction. But we need to be really in tune to what the Lord would have us to do and to what His and the way that He would direct us. And then it says, in all thy ways, not just some, but in all, in every aspect, in every part, in everything that we do, we are to acknowledge Him, and then He shall direct our path. Day, moment by moment, are we asking the Lord to give us direction and complete dependency on Him? And then in 2 Corinthians 10:5 it says, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every day, we need to be sure that every thought that we have is in obedience to God and His Word, and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He directs our walk. Positionally, where are we positionally? You know, the Bible tells us that we are to set our affections on things above and not on things on earth. That's in Colossians 3:2. But we truly are, if we study the Word of God, we see that we are to be walking in the Spirit. We are to be focused upon the things above. You know, in this world, most of us are very familiar with the physical world. We have no problem with that. Things we can see, taste, and touch. No problem. We know what all those things are. But you know, there's another world. And it's a very, very real world. In reality, it's a lot more real than this world is. And that's called the spiritual realm. The Bible tells us clearly, it says that we have a warfare that we're fighting. It's a real war. Notice in Ephesians 6:12, it tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's spiritual warfare that goes on day in and day out in our lives. You know, by God's grace, when we walk as He would have us to walk, when we have that union, when we're in His path, when we're letting God show us the purpose for our life and walking that path, God can give us the spiritual eyes and ears to not only see the things that are in the spiritual realm, but also to hear those things. You see, we worship God in spirit, do we not? That's where we need to be, as we just read, focused on things above and not the things that are on this earth. Yes, my friend, I believe the answer. If we want the life that God really has ordained before the world was for you and I, that we must purpose today to start. We start, number one, with the heart. We need to have the right heart, a fully surrendered heart to the Lord that's fully yielded to Him and seeking Him in every aspect and fully trusting Him for whatever the circumstances of the world may be before us. I believe we need to begin each morning with that prayer and with that in our heart of serving the Lord in every way, humbling ourselves, yielded to God's perfect will, asking as Jesus Christ did, "Not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done." Each day, each moment. Obviously, we need to study His Word. But not only study it, let's meditate on it. Let's take the time to consider what God has said and look at it in our own lives and ask the Lord to show us the application of that truth for our life and to share that with others. And then all the day, walk in complete dependency and fellowship with Him. You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, doesn't it? Pray without ceasing. You know, well, obviously we don't think we're always going to sit around and pray all day, but you know, that's a wonderful promise from God. He wants us to pray without ceasing. He wants us literally to be in constant fellowship and communication with Him every moment of the day. Do you, when you walk, and do I, when I walk, really consider Jesus Christ is right there with me? He really is. The Bible tells me that He is there, and He's there not to, and we get it backwards sometimes, not to meet my needs, which so often we kind of think about. We think of the challenge we're in, and we think, well, Jesus is right there. I'm going to ask Him to fix it. You know, that's a wonderful thing, right? But it's not really that we should be asking. It's Lord, what is Your path in this situation for me? Now, I would like it to be this way, but I want Your perfect will to be done in my life. And truly mean it when we say it. God will bless us, and you'll find peace, and you will also begin to find great wisdom in the life that you're leading. Willing to do His will and not ours. Again, oftentimes it's going to require us to step out of that comfort zone that we've gotten so comfortable with. And I'm not suggesting that all of a sudden we start trying to do things in the flesh either. That can sometimes come across. That's not it at all. I'm talking about being yielded and being right. And when God shows you a direction to go, even though it's not comfortable, it's unfamiliar, it's not territory you've been in too much before, do it. God's faithful. And you're going to trust Him to get you through that. In Colossians 3, 1 through 4, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." What a precious promise. Are we really looking to the time that our Lord is coming and we're going to be appearing with Him in glory? Are we just counting the days? Are we just kind of, well, when the Lord comes, He's going to come? Or are we in preparation? What if somebody were able to say, and of course we can't, but let's just say that we said that, you know, tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we know that the Lord's coming. Do you think it would change a couple of attitudes and we'd maybe have a little different attitude what we're going to do today and tomorrow and how we're going to do everything? How we're going to do things? Would it change things a little bit? You know, the Bible tells us immediate, anytime. We need to be living for the Lord. We need to be ready for His coming at any time and be doing the work that He has for us to do here as He would have us to do. So let us close and let us look again in chapter 12 of Romans. Let us live this day for Christ. Let us present. And notice the word is I beseech. The word beg. Exhort. It's very, very strong language. Paul is not saying, I suggest. I think it's a good idea. It would be a good thing if you did this. Paul is saying, I exhort, I beg you. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And notice, be not conformed. Don't let this world shape you. Let God shape you. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is in a walk with the Lord daily, moment by moment. And understand, God is not interested in 99% of our life. It's an insult. God is a perfect God. He wants it all. He wants it all. So we are to be fully recognizing that we are His and letting Him do that work in our mind and in our lives that He would do. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, I tell you, it's a blessing that God, to think that God, number one, has blessed each and every one in this room. I'm blessed to be here today. I'm blessed to be among friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. Many of you I've known for many, many years. What a blessing it is to have that kind of fellowship. Oh, we have such a tremendous foundation. A place, a country that I've been born in, a family that I've been born in, the opportunities that I have had. Sadly to say, the opportunities that I have blown too. The opportunities that I have blown. But you know, the Bible tells me too much is given, much is expected. I pray by God's grace that I begin and continue to seek with all of my life the life that God would really have me to live in immediate expectation of His coming. I know it's going to be soon. I can tell you this, and I can tell you this with great certainty. We are a day closer than we were yesterday. Okay? But we are getting closer. And the day is coming, and the time is coming. And God wants you. Jesus Christ came to this world to pay for your sins personally, but not only just to pay for your sins, but to have your life count in His plan and be a part of His plan, His eternal purpose. Won't you seek to do that? Won't I seek to do it by His mercy? Let us close. Our precious Heavenly Father, we do, Lord, just thank You for this time. Thank You for the privilege of being able to share Your Word, Father. Thank You for the way that You work in each heart, in each life, in this room, Father. We pray that as we go forth from here, Lord, that we would go forth in newness with purpose in life, Father, recognizing that we have been bought with a price. And Father, that we truly have the greatest of all gifts in that we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Father, that He has a plan for each life here. May You be with each one. May You be with those that are still traveling, helping and making and keeping them safe. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.